Well, right now it is time to de-ice and head down south a little bit. Bring in Tim and Greg, the appraisal guys, a frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can find them on the web at tqag.com. And did either of you have a Norge in your household when you were growing up?
No, we didn't have a Norge. We had Kenmore.
Okay, a Kenmore.
All right. That's made by Sears.
Remember Sears? Yeah, Sears Roebuck and Company. Not only do I remember it, I remember looking at the catalogs that my grandmother had, and I'll stop right there.
I'm right there with you.
I was a weird kid. Okay. Who turned into a weird man. All right. Well, Tim and Luca and Greg Strom, Jill's on her way in. She'll be in shortly. Now, I just want to know, what is the temperature where you guys are?
62.
So now, snowbirds are freezing, but we would give an eye tooth for 62.
Of course.
This is still a beach day down here. I mean, people come down here in the wintertime, and
Greg, it's not so much a beach day today. It's
they still go to the beach.
Overcast.
Remembered years ago, before we started this radio station, and I actually took vacations, I would go to West Palm Beach. And I would come down on April 2nd, and I would be out on the golf course in my shorts and my polo t-shirts, and it was like 60 degrees. And I'd be golfing next to people who live down there who had gloves on.
Gloves and jackets.
Sweatpants, yes. And stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, it's... We are getting some of the cold, which comes in later today and later in the week. It's going to be down in the 30s. So, for us, that's almost half of where we are.
For you guys, that's disaster. It's like fire up the heater.
Yes.
Well, I have to cover my orchids because I don't want them to freeze. Everybody should have that trouble. All you have to do is cover your orchids and not have to shovel snow. So I feel your pain.
Yes. So where do we want to start off here today before the boss gets in?
Well, Gregory? First of all, I just want to wish everybody a happy new year.
Very happy new year. Yeah.
And happy, I'm sorry we weren't here last week, but when Jill called and she woke me up and said, well, we weren't really, we were a little under the weather. Tim, in particular, had the flu.
Just getting over the flu.
Yeah. He was stuck in that Atlanta airport disaster. And he had the flu when he, when he got home, he was down for the count. So when Joe called last week, I had just fallen asleep at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
She says, go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. So I'm assuming you guys did the best of last week.
Sorry.
We did the best of, and you're not the only ones. I mean, there were a few people who the same thing happened. It was amazing. It was like you all got together and conspired. Because you conspired.
Not on purpose.
I know.
It was one of those days. Doing much better. He's doing much.
Yes.
Well, that's
good. Finally back to the, I feel like myself again.
Now, are you home for a while to start the year, or are you?
Yeah, a little bit till the 10th. I go out and teach a USPAP class, the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice, in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, yes, nothing like Cincinnati in January. Oh,
there's nothing like Cincinnati really any time of the year.
So that should be interesting.
It's like Pittsburgh. They're cities, but they're cities. And I had a friend that went to work in Pittsburgh, Kevin, at B94 back in those days. And he spoke to him about after 6 months after he was there. So I said, how is it like living in the city? He said, it's a city, but it's different. He said, you go like two blocks outside the city limits and you're in the coal mining areas.
right. Well, I will definitely be bringing multi-layers. That's because right. I'm sure it will be very cold.
I do. You asked us what we want to talk about. I want to just say that do you remember, every year I seem to watch it. I think most people do because they grew up with it. I know, Marshall, you probably remember this as well. Do you remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from 1964, that animated, everybody remembers
that? That and Frosty the Snowman, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, as it turns out, the gentleman who purchased the original puppets from the Rudolph's movie is selling them on eBay. And do you know what? The asking price is $10
million
dollars.
Okay.
And apparently... the auction was over on December 25th, but
nobody bid.
It did not sell.
Well, I wouldn't think so, it would. Yeah, I wouldn't think it would. Yeah.
No, the guy said he was
sad to see to think that they would be selling. The guy that owned it and was putting up said, it's sad that they have to be sold. But he doesn't say why he had to sell them and why he had to put them up for $10 million. But, it just seemed like that's one of those things where you really have no clue what you have, and really overpricing something, hoping that somebody is...
just going to snag them up.
Had they put it up for auction probably at no price, they probably would have gotten a pretty decent offer from somebody. I'm not saying $10 million, but somebody would have
gotten. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
This collector, his name is Peter Letrario. He's a 1960s Hollywood memorabilia collector and current owner of these. And, you know, the thing is that this was a headline that we happened to see where it says, oh, they're going. The headline is, original 1964 Rudolph puppets are going for an insane amount of money on eBay. Well, they didn't go for an insane amount. They were just put up there as an asking price. So it's a misread, and this is what we have to, as appraisers and auctioneers, deal with, is that people look at this and think, oh, $10 million. It has to be worth $10 million.
Would an auction house take them on?
They would absolutely take them on, but not at that level.
This is what's really interesting about you. It's so funny that you mentioned that, because something I was thinking about. It's just people just don't. Sort of if you see a headline like that, the common sense component goes away.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. This is a source of, I'm sure, aggravation, massive aggravation to Marshall and anyone who has the misfortune to talk to me, because I was sort of walking around smashing my head going, but. It's like, how could you not know that?
Well, it caught our attention, and we immediately took a look at this and said, well, wait a minute. And then you read a little closer, and it's like, yeah, they were offered for this, but nobody purchased them.
No kidding.
Yeah, he actually took the listing down.
Do you really think he wanted to sell them? I would think that if someone with that experience collecting that wanted to sell them, first of all, they wouldn't go to eBay and they wouldn't do that. Do you think he was just trying to get publicity for in the future when they do go to an auction house?
Possibly. There's another strategy there, because maybe somebody, they put his name in this article. He was not hiding who he was, and maybe he's thinking somebody will just contact him and then he doesn't have to pay fees. It's a strategy, but once it's out there and it's listed for $10 million, if it ever goes up again, it's a very simple search on eBay to say, oh, he offered him for this and now he's asking what?
Yeah.
And it shows a desperation and kind of it devalues the piece, because they're not fresh to the market anymore. And it's like, oh yeah, that's already been out there. And there was a news story about it.
it goes to something that we've talked about in the past that Jill has brought up, and putting the unrealistic value on something just based on what the seller feels they are worth, and it has absolutely no reality whatsoever about what they are intrinsic, or what they are worth as classic memorabilia. And this is one of those cases.
Here's the interesting thing is that they at least tried to put it up during the Christmas holiday season you know, it's out there and people are seeing it. So the marketing was already done for it. But, people are like, oh, yeah, cool.
But speaking as somebody who works at a major auction house and does work through many, many forms like that, doesn't that take that person's reputation and just flush it down the toilet?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and then... So this has happened before where people have brought me pieces of street art, and then I'll do a little research and I'll see that I'll put my estimate on it, and then they'll say, oh no, I need to have it at this estimate. And I'll say, like you did at that other auction house and it did not sell? No. And then of course I either don't hear back from them, or they'll say, okay, that's fine, we'll do it at a lesser because that's more realistic, or we'll do this. And I said, we're not putting it up until the fall because you've already put it up and it's just too soon. And you know, I guess they just assume that we don't do our due diligence or do any kind of research, you know, because it's a simple search and you can find, oh, this piece has been up and this is what's out there. And you know, people are constantly doing that.
You know, that would have been
One of the other problems with something like this is that it poisons the value of the piece. Once that piece is shopped around, once that piece is listed at, now if he goes and lists it again, let's say he lists it at $5 million and it doesn't sell. Well, you know, there you go. You know, we're back in the same boat, because each time you do that, it poisons the piece. And it will eventually devalue the piece to the point where even when it does legitimately come up for auction, it's like, oh, well, this has been up, you know, like, oh, well, we'll put in a pity bid. And
I like that, a pity bid.
A pity bid.
Hey, by the way, that pity bid is how a lot of people stayed in business. In business,
yeah.
As Big Ed Bookman and Semi Tough used to say. I mean, because that pity bid is how you get stuff that you can then sell.
How to compare it, had someone, you know, those Trump drawings, okay? Now, had somebody put them up for like, oh, I'm going to put them up for $1 million each because he's the president, they would have done nothing from then on. They were put up for auction. And you know what? For little sketches, for crummy little sketches and everything, they actually bought decent money.
But there's a bigger point. There's a bigger point, and that is, or at least, sorry, maybe maybe there isn't a bigger point, but it seems to me that it needs to be understood. People don't say, I mean, you can walk in and say, I want $3 zillion for my coffee cup.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that...
That doesn't mean that's what the value is.
I just think that doesn't mean
that somebody's going to pay that. And interestingly enough, Marshall, after we sold that Trump drawing, I received a bunch of other things. And people then said, well, but you got this much for it. And I said, yeah, but I had to estimate it here, and it sold here. And your piece is half of the size. It's smaller. It's this. It's that. So we're going to estimate it here. And no, I have to have $20,000 or I'm not selling it. And I said, well, then fine. You're not selling it through us.
Yeah, because
you know, just can't.
I think when you have something like that that's so obscure and small, but it's still got some value, you let the market set the price through a proper auction
house. Most definitely. And that is the big thing for not only when you're looking to resell your items, is looking at the marketplace and say, here's what comparables have. You know, it's done in real estate all the time. People get it when it comes to real estate. When it comes to their stuff, oh, no. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. And they don't really look at the marketplace in a way that is very similar to what's going on in real estate.
Yeah,
and that's what we have to do as both auctioneers and appraisers, is analyze that marketplace and take a look at all the variables and say, okay, based on all of these different variables, here's what your item could bring, and this is what we think the value, which is our opinion, based on market analysis and research of what this is.
And what's interesting about that is when it goes to a legitimate auction house and goes on a legitimate auction, that's the place where you always could get that one person who's always been looking for that one thing. That's
sure.
That's the best place you might get the highest bid offer is right there.
Yeah, or...
And the exposure. Yeah.
And then there's the... there's still the whole selling thing where people who are specialized... it sort of depends on what it is because, for example, the Trump drawing went to someone who was collecting that sort
Empire
of thing.
Empire State Building drawings.
And he was very he was happy to... collect Empire State Building. Like that's what his collections typically have a theme. It's just something that gets forgotten about in the, here's a piece, here's a piece, here's a piece. It's like the only reason those pieces can be reabsorbed is if someone has a, shall we say, a more thematic approach, because otherwise just a bunch of pieces is your basement.
Well,
we have used up all this time already.
I'm sorry. Well, Happy New Year.
Fabulous. Happy New Year.
And the thing that I like best is that Tim thinks that he's in place for a while, which is actually 7 days.
I know. But that's a long time.
That's as bad as us thinking that 3 degrees is warm after it's been 15 below.
The really bad thing about...
You guys are having a heat wave up there.
Well, right. I got so excited with Marshall's...
Look, it's all perspective.
I got so excited about Marshall's heat wave that I really failed to dress appropriately. That's bad.
All right,
there
guys,
you go.
We'll speak to you next week, guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Have a great week.
Take care.
Take care, guys.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.